Sheila's like lickers. Let's see here. Brother Jared, if you could please voice a prayer.
Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and Lord, we thank you for your word that we have to learn and study, and the opportunity that we have to freely look into it, your spirit to teach us, and ask that, and I take for granted that we fully understand and go through those liberties. Ask me this, to give us lessons and open to your word once again in this class, that the name we can bring forth, we have it too, that we can all the same page and we can take home and study the apples and be truly meditate on your word all the time. Or that we cannot be caught in this flesh and caught in this world, but stay on the spiritual side of the way, that we might be faithful to you, Lord, and hopefully one day be in that bright fresh with you. Thank you for being blessed to me. Thank you. Because I'm very good at it.
Let's see here. Oh, I got to wear my glasses again. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. Again, this keeping that mind frame, it has to be aggressive with us. Again, thinking about all the scripture that we've been introduced to this weekend, the lessons being taught here, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." And so we're just going to have that determination that whatever's in the scripture, that's what we're going to speak. That's what we're going to teach. We're not going to go outside of that. We're not going to try to add our two cents or anything, but just stick with the scripture. And there's some good reasons why. And as Brother Daniel mentioned here, let's go over to Romans chapter 8 and think about this. And, you know, again, I think sometimes we drift off and we consider false religion. We consider the false prophets and we consider the false teachers. But do we consider me, you, individually as fitting this mold also? So Romans chapter 8 here. We'll do 6 through 8. Brother Josh, if you could read those.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
All right, so one of the things that is frustrating to humans is the singleness of God, the narrowness of God, the straight line, toe the mark nature of God. You're either spiritual or you're carnal. There's either light or there's dark. It's either truth or a lie. There is no, you cannot serve two masters. Friend of the world, enmity with God. You can't, there's no fence here, as we say all the time, and there's no compromise, and there's no middle ground. You and I, in our carnal mind, are at enmity. We're against God, and our carnal mind cannot be subject to the laws of God. So then how is it that an individual can serve God?
Very false listener.
But how?
Through Jesus Christ.
Okay, it's the order. You got to be saved. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then we're given the Spirit of promise, and then we're drawn to the purpose of God. We're drawn to the obedience of God. We're drawn to that scriptural baptism where we profess and confess. What's the picture of baptism?
The gospel.
What's that? Yeah, we got a new life. And where does that new life come from? From God. And what does God want us to do with this baptized presence now? Well, he says he adds us to a New Testament church. We enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ. And that covenant is I will love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I will walk in your commandments, because that's what love is. Walk in his commandments. Whose commandments?
God.
All right? Has he changed them? Is it Romans 6, the immutable counsel of God? God cannot lie. So then, what are we supposed to do with this carnal mind? Put it off. Mortify it. Ignore it. Renew it. All right? Because we have a different mind now. And so, that's where we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's, and he tells us this, and we are to take it by faith, but we're also to take it scientifically with that analytical ability that we now have through the Spirit of God, that not only is he the Spirit of promise within us as a saved creature, a child born of God, but now as a New Testament church member baptized, God adds us to his body and we covenant together. Now he offers us the Spirit of comfort. And I know we beat this horse to death, but listen, there's brethren around us. I don't know how much you talk to your own brethren, church members about, listen, if you're not a New Testament church member, God is not helping you understand his word. You're doing it with a carnal mind that's at enmity with God. Do we get that formulation there? How does someone understand the truths of God's doctrine if they're not a member of a New Testament church? Can they? They can't. All right, so Brother Jacob and then Brother Reagan.
My favorite verses for just subject, the point you're making. Proverbs 8, verse 9, they're all plain to him to understand it, and yes, right for them to find knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plain to him to understand. Well, I don't understand, so how can it be plain to me?
Yes.
Once you accept it by faith,
yes,
it's the word of God.
Yes.
God says it, I believe it.
Yes.
Then you take what you're bringing out in your lesson, the ability to analyze the scripture.
Yes.
And because that faith is already there.
Yes.
Now you start being able to connect all these thoughts that before you didn't, yep, see. Now it's plain.
Yep.
Because you understand.
Amen. Amen. Brother Reagan.
And if you're a New Testament church member, you're not right with God, you're still not going
to
get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you have to yield to that. You have to seek after it. You have to have that desire and that delight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I don't know if it gets any more simple than this to explain to us how this whole thing works out. Just for fun, to chase a little rabbit here, don't you love your little postcards and your books and your little notebooks and the guys shop at Hobby Lobby and you find all the little goodies that have all these great little sayings on them? But it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I just don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know about God, but I know he does. And I just rely on him. What's the next verse say?
I don't know who deals with
us.
We know. We don't have to walk around in blindness wondering what's going to happen. We know. Well, who's the we here? Who's the we?
New Testament church.
New Testament church. And, you know, listen, Jesus Christ wasn't mincing words when he prayed to his Father in John 17. I do not pray for them. I pray for you. Church accepted the words, accepted me, glorified, together, unified. Well, how does that happen? By the power of God and the work of God and his order and his design, if you will, his purpose from the very beginning before he ever created what a New Testament church was going to be. So anyways, that was just a little side note. Now, verse number 11 here, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So a little, and I'm again, preaching to the choir here. One of the things that we have to be careful with, and this is kind of a little outside the lesson, is don't try to figure out what somebody's thinking because you don't know. Don't try to figure out their life because you don't know. They do. And they're going to tell you things that maybe you want to hear, and don't know, you don't always necessarily have to take that either. But just understand your role is to give them the Lord. Your role is to teach them God's word. Be personal about it. Be sincere about it. But quit trying to figure out what's going on with them. I just got to figure out what you need. Don't. Just don't figure it out. Nobody knows the spirit of a man except that person. They know what's going on. All right? So if we understand that, you know, Brother Dale, there you are. Old Origin. What do you know about God? Except for what God reveals to us. We don't know a lick about the Lord because He is an individual. Individuals. He has a will. They have a will. Personalities. They have truths. And he says in John chapter 20, what I've given you is what you need. Mm-hmm. Is there more to God than what we have in our scripture? Oh boy, isn't he infinite? All right, so how do you know about God? What does the next part here tell us? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How is God freely giving to us? Carnally? It's by the Spirit of God. Okay, so is he talking about salvation here? Okay, he's talking about knowledge, knowing who God is, given to us by the Spirit of God. You know, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit teacheth, Holy Ghost teacheth. Same thing. What did we learn over there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17? Who teaches us? The Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit teaching us? The spiritual things of God. God. He's teaching us God. That's the only way we can know God. I just get frustrated. Sister Rhonda.
Well, just you ask what the Holy Spirit teaches. It depends on who we are.
Yeah.
Does the Spirit give understanding to a lost man what his need is?
Yes. Yes.
Without?
Yes.
No man can be saved.
Yes. Amen.
Does the Spirit Amen. Give knowledge to a man who is saved and outside the will of God?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
For his will.
Yep. Yep.
What he reveals to us as New Testament church members, if we are receptive, as Reagan said.
Yeah.
He will teach us the deep truths.
Yes, the mysteries.
The things that he hasn't revealed to others that they can't understand.
Yes.
He will teach us those things.
Yes.
And we will be receptive.
Amen. And we can, you know, Brother Bo put together a list last year when he was teaching Bible analysis, a big long list of doctrines that when you take those doctrines out here into the world of Christianity or religion, there is such a confusing little tangled up paramecium looking germ worms of wires going everywhere. But how is it that you and I can understand them so simply and so plainly and in such a straight line? Because we're smarter than everybody else.
No,
it's the Spirit gives us that understanding. Because I think that's what we fail to realize is those that are outside of God's will, look at their understanding of things. And how confusing and inconsistent and unstable it is. And so that reveals to us, the only reason why a Landmark Missionary Baptist Church maintains consistency, straight and narrow, and non-confusion and order is because they're following the Word of God. God's revealing it to them. That's the only reason why.
Sometimes I've heard it, but it's like, well, I'm going to, you know, I don't know much about the Bible like you do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, I don't read over it like you.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think this.
Yeah, and you do.
And they say this, and it's wrong completely.
Absolutely.
You have the Bible just like I have the Bible. You can go and read it.
Absolutely. And you get that a lot. Dismiss that, because that's what that's a defense mechanism. I hate the word arguing. You know, even lawyers, is it really arguing when you're contending for the law?
Dispute.
Debating.
Oh, that's such your favorite answer, that one.
Well, the law has opinions.
Yeah.
So it is
not a great
person. I guess carnal law has an opinion. God's law doesn't have an opinion. God's law doesn't have an opinion. And that's maybe some of us are trying to persuade others by our opinions, but rather than the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. It's just, it's stable. It's, what was that term that you used for the? What does the mean? Definite. It's a definite article. All right, Brother Daniel.
Along with this, I don't know if this is where you're going, but you know, when you start dealing with others, don't be surprised when they come up with all the different things. But we're not in an argument. And I always think about this is, you know, you take a look at John chapter 16. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised that when you explain it to people,
yeah,
who is working with them?
Yeah.
It is the Comforter.
Yeah.
That's what John 16 tells us.
Yeah.
So that people, when you're telling them, that might be the very first time that they see it that way, because the Comforter is working in and through his New Testament church. And I always think about it I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
I'm just presenting it.
I know. But we always say that.
This is just how it is.
Yeah, they always say that.
And you hit it in that manner, and then there's, well, sometimes
yeah.
You see the light shine.
Yeah.
Well, I never understood it, saw it that way.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised when that happens.
Hey, young preachers, whatever you want to call yourselves, do not ever be affected by the accusation of you always wanting to be right or always argumentative. Always preface everything. Well, let's look at the scripture. Let's go to the chapter and verse. As it is written, thus saith the Lord. However you preface it, give them the truth. If they think that's arguing, whatever. You're just contending for that faith, right? So what is it? So verse 14. I wanted to get to this one here. Let's see. Brother Doug, could you read verse 14 for us?
Chapter 2?
Of chapter 2, yeah.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
All right. Thank you so very much. Is that not a great companion to Romans chapter 8 over there? What do we read? I always say verse 6, Romans 6, 7, 8, 9. The carnal mind is at enmity with God, cannot be subject to the law of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them.
Even as a New Testament church member, I have studied by my carnal mind.
Yes.
And with my carnal mind, it will not make sense.
Yes. Why did he warn Timothy to rightly divide?
Yep.
Exactly. Because he still has that carnal mind and that natural man, as we do, present with us. So again, it's now you have to pardon me on, I do have some lack of understanding. Listen, I'm not drawn. I went through a scenario years ago that shocked me. I was kind of didn't really know how to handle this because I was in great reverence towards this individual and this brother, but there was a huge blow up in the middle of church. Well, I think I was teaching a class at a church that was without a pastor. And I was teaching a doctrine that we're going to get into this year. And the vehement anger towards me and the accusation of breaking fellowship. And I'm like, where is this coming from? And mainly the shock that I had was I don't have an opinion. I was just teaching what the Bible teaches. I don't know how to explain this. I don't have an opinion on it. I don't care one way or the other what you think of it. I could go either way. I don't care. What does the Bible teach? And I go with that. But boy, there's some folks. How is it that Landmark Missionary Baptists get to the point where they disagree on doctrines to that point? Breaking fellowship. Okay, now I'm not trying to say I'm right or wrong in this. I'm just trying to say my attitude was, wow, that's not where I was at. Do you know that the Bible right here, this book tells us that we have the mind of Christ? And I know that it's because we're humans. And that's the only reason why I accept it is because we're humans. But should we, through the Spirit of God, understand doctrines differently than our brother?
We won't. If it's through the Spirit of God, we won't.
That's. But why are there so many differences? Because I think we still have natural man, carnal minds, Brother Daniel.
Can't count for individual issue, but I see a lot of people saying, make it their doctrine
rather than
doctrine.
Oh yeah.
So that now it is you are now attacking me.
Yes.
Now that's not to say we shouldn't be. Somebody tells me that Jesus Christ didn't die for my sins. You know what? I'm going to be irritated and I'm
for sure going to jealous for the Lord.
Jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
To understand that there's a difference between this is my doctrine now. Mm-hmm. No, it's the Lord's.
Yep, doctrine. Amen. And that's the point we're trying to make here is our mind, our carnal mind and our natural man will not have these thoughts, will not have this mind. He tells the church at Corinth that they have the mind of Christ. So can we understand God's doctrines, his order, his one way? For sure. But we got to yield to all of that stuff. Back to Romans chapter 7. you know, and then kind of bouncing off of Brother Daniel's class here with our mind. Absolutely. First thought, kick the day off right. You wake up groggy, whatever, you slap that alarm, however you do it, pray. You know, just get that down first, pray. You know, open up the scripture. Yeah, if you need to, you need a shower, need a cup of coffee to kind of wake up a little bit, do so. Get your eyes. I don't know about some of you guys with eye issues. It takes my eyes a little bit, even with glasses, to see clearly. When you get seeing clearly, read. Read the Bible, get into God's word, and get ready to go. This Romans chapter 7 here, it's crazy, you know, and I keep bringing this stuff up. It's for real. It's talking to this Muslim. I don't even know what their faith is, but they're telling me that every individual is created inherently to worship God, and they know the right thing about God until they come to that point where they can just fully immerse themselves into God. And you know, what's that over there? And is it Psalms or Proverbs? The wicked are estranged as soon as they be born. They come from the womb speaking lies. There is none good, no, not one. I always go to this one here in Romans 7 where it's pretty cool because you watch these little kids here, right? Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And he's speaking as a child here. I was alive without the law once. What do we see little kids? What's one of the first, like when they start to get mobile, what are they doing? They're taking other people's stuff. They take other people's stuff. They covet. And at some point you learn that that lust is a sin to do those things. And then I died. No, that's not true. Well, that's what Romans chapter 7 tells us, that we get to that age of accountability where we realize my natural behavior is sinful and I don't feel good about it. There's a guilt there. That's not right. Well, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. That's just what the Bible tells me. Okay? So then we read about all of this. He looks to his flesh. He sees nothing there. Verse 23, I appreciate Brother Daniel bringing this up. Warring against the law. There's a war here that goes on within us. You know, preachers, pastors have the same war. Stand for the faith. Contend for the faith. Preach the word. I've been a church member longer than I've been a pastor. I've seen pastors attacked by church members over doctrine, sometimes openly, sometimes during a church service, sometimes very rudely and abruptly and somewhat violent. And you got to just stand in the face of it. Stand in the face of it. It's what God's word. It's not my word. What are you trying to attack me? Like I wrote this thing? So you're going to have these wars to give in, to be peaceable, to like, man, we got to, you know, agree to disagree and to avoid these things, you know, and it's, I got to be careful what I say because this is being recorded. Broadcasting. Stuff I like those things, but anyways.
Well, why don't you just say?
Well, you go to an area. And in our particular case, there were some folks that didn't like me, didn't like where I came from, didn't like the people where I came
from. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And so this is what I stand on. Okay? I just start teaching against it. Am I teaching against it? No, I'm teaching what God's word says. And there's friction there. And then there's comments that are being made. And then there's stuff thrown at you. And then you're getting it from the third and fourth party. What are you going to do?
Keep standing.
Contend for the faith. Thank you, Brother Jack.
Keep standing.
Having done all to stand, therefore stand. That's all you got to do. And it's according to the word of God. There's a war there to make peace. I'm not here to make peace. Don't you love Matthew chapter 10? I don't love it for the sake of rising up in battle, but I love it for the sake that Jesus Christ himself said it. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Brother Mike.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing.
Amen.
There be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Yeah.
If the word of God is harmonious, if it is without contradiction,
yep,
the very word of God,
yep,
then if it's beyond thinking that you should all be in agreement with it?
Absolutely not. And we have record in Acts chapter 2. They were in one place and all in one accord. And we know from Acts chapter 1, there was at least 120 of them there. That's a big group to be all in one accord and in one place. And sometimes I struggle with myself over that because I do, you know, and I explain to this and you know, this, when you have a, you know, I bring up the railroad stuff. I don't know. I just learned a lot there. It was federally regulated. It was nervous. I was nervous. I was young. I was in my early 20s and I had a federal government regulating my, not a boss. The railroad didn't care. It was that federal government guy, the FRA, that kept looking over my shoulder. And I was very perplexed as a Landmark Missionary Baptist when the government gives you rules and exactly what to inspect for, and they give you specific specifications. Why do we sharpshoot that stuff? And it's just boggling to my mind. 65 guys, and they all had their opinions on what we ought to do with a locomotive in inspection and repair. And all the while, I'm like, well, just go to the book. Just go to the book. Isn't that the same with us? Why do we struggle with, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. This doctrine, there's different opinions. There's different thoughts. Why don't you just go to the book? What does God say? You know, and also, I know this one thing for me that I guess I never really had because I trusted the scripture as that's God's word. You need to have that profound respect and honor for God's word. It is his. It's not a figurative philosophical document. It's God's record of things. That there's stuff in here that you're like, that's kind of cool. Instead of going, no, man, that could never happen like that. Why would you say that?
It's real.
Why would anybody have that opinion? Nah, that couldn't happen. That's not right. I don't like that. You know, all you young people, plug your ears. I don't like what's in Leviticus 18. I don't like a single word in there. But we use that to show, don't blame the Jews. God's the one who said, I'm going to remove these nations. God's the one that said, I'm going to take care of these people. People, that's, listen, why? If God tells us that, it is what it is. Again, a donkey spoke. Do you believe that? Because the Bible says that she did. Now, sometimes I play around. What's that? Drawn away of my own lust. Enticed. Oh, man. Okay, back to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And 2 Peter chapter 2. What does Jesus Christ, our Lord, offer us? Knowledge. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, the divinity, the divine nature, escape from corruption. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So that clearly tells us how to control our flesh with our mind. How do we transform our mind? Through the word of God, the law. And so that's how we get rid of the thoughts that we have as, oh, it couldn't be this, or I don't believe that, or that's not right, and this sounds weird, and this is off, and just what does the Bible say? Because I'm giving you one thing. We're just going to look at rapture and the timeline a little bit. There's some folks that are, it can't be like that. I don't know if it can or not. I'm just reading the timeline here, and it just tells me when. You know, and I don't really have much of an opinion except for the fact that God lays out some of his attitude and his behaviors and his consistency and how he deals with mankind from Genesis to Revelation. And with that rightly dividing harmony in Bible analysis, we have discovered the truth of God's mind. without my opinion and my emotions and what I think and how I feel. Let's see here. Bible analysis, again, it's a scientific method of Bible study that enables one to understand the Bible for himself. Science is about facts. It's not about opinions. It's not about that philosophy. It's not about feelings. And, you know, I don't know if it's a real word, but undebatable, non-debatable. We don't like that very much. But, you know, if a fact is a fact. You know, your bloody handprint is on the front door of the house. No, it isn't. I really don't know how to argue that, except that there's a bloody handprint on the door that matches your hand. It's a fact. You present facts, guess what people are going to do? It's not, no, that isn't right. It's the fact. I don't know what else to say.
So I'm back to my mind, this one set of standards here. Unlike the scripture Brother Mike brought out also, like, we're going to have one breath. We're not going to have a bunch of special judgments for
yeah.
the person.
Yep.
All going to be judged by this book.
Yep.
And God's not going to go, well, you're special, so I'm going to judge you on, you know, however you see that scripture.
Yep.
You know, that scripture, oh, you see it like that, so that's what I'm going to know. He's going to judge God's.
Amen. Amen. So if we have this, we got this big picture here now. There's an order of God. We have Acts chapter 2, 41 and 42. Saved, baptized, added to a church, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, active mind renewing, study to show thyself approved. The carnal mind can't be subject to the law of God. The natural man cannot discern the Spirit of God. So we have all this, John 14, 15, 16, Jesus Christ gave us specifically, sent the comforter, the advocate, in replacement of Jesus Christ, who was the first comforter. What did Jesus do in Matthew chapter 13? He taught them clearly, plainly, the word of God. The Holy Spirit as comforter is going to teach a New Testament church member that has the open heart, has the right mind, seeking all those things, the big picture, right? Origen wrote 2,000 books. We are inundated with books, with television preachers, radio preachers, systems, influencers, Instagram, Facebook, all these people that have all this knowledge. You guys that are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him better not pick up or read any of those to find the truth of God. Now, I admittedly, I've read a lot of stuff from these guys. I'm also strong in my faith. The word of God is soul, S-O-L-E. I may one day do something really stupid and not be able to pastor anymore, and I may even not even want to go to church anymore, but I'll know in my heart where the truth is, and I'll suffer through that.
Yeah.
That could happen to me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm going to stand. Well, I'm telling you, in my heart, there's nothing, absolutely zero, that teaches me about God outside of the Holy Scripture. Don't Google stuff. Don't try to find a shortcut and a quick fix. Get in there and study it with paper. If you want to run laptops and tabs and phones, fine. But I'm telling you, now I'm going to step over here to the opinion stage of Nate. There's something different about having the Bible on pages and having that Strong's Concordance to help me what Greek and Hebrew understanding is. And I've even opened up a Webster's Dictionary from 1828. And to have the paper there and to spend the time to find the words in the pages by flipping through them and reading without electronic light, actual letters on pages that God gave us, at first stones and then parchments. But God always wanted us to have a written word. Here it is. You don't need anything else. Literally, you don't need anything else. We promote all these books. I got a big old giant pile of books over there. They're fun to read. I love reading about that history. I love reading about how King James orchestrated all this work to have us an English Bible. That's awesome to me. But that doesn't compel me to trust God. That doesn't compel me to live for God and to serve God. The Holy Scripture does. So that's a temptation that we have, is to find the shortcut, find the easy, find the quick. Don't. Stick with the Word of God. Any comments or questions? No, a couple more verses right here. I do want to go to John chapter 14. Because we got to understand, listen, if somebody is outside the Lord's New Testament church and they're trying to teach you and tell you and try to encourage you about this doctrine, this book, that book, this system, this way, this new, this whatever, you have to ignore it. Because Jesus gave us some very divisive things here in John chapter 14. By the way, just a really quick Bible analysis, rightly dividing. What do we know about John chapter 14?
The upper room.
Okay, the upper room.
Judas is gone.
Judas is gone. That's coming from folks that know the whole story.
Jesus is speaking.
Okay, Jesus is talking. Well, who's he talking to? His church. So you walk it back a couple of chapters. Jesus commanded his church to go find this place that has the foal or the colt of a donkey and tell that man, you need to prepare the room for the Lord to observe the Passover. So Jesus, in saying that he will fulfill the law and he won't break any of the law and he's there to observe the Passover, what can we glean from that? What's that Passover going to look like?
Exactly
how it was supposed to, and how was that? Exodus 12, okay, a lamb without blemish, unleavened bread, no leaven in the house. Was that man to have left this guy up a room? That man didn't have leaven in his house, or Jesus wouldn't be there. So there's doctrine there in him telling the church, this is how it's going to be. So 14 here, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 2 John tells you all about that. So we just talked about this last night. So to us, it's simple. It's just an English sentence. You know, these and the thous. I mean, how many times do you read the Bible and you realize, man, that wasn't old English, hard to understand. That was just a bunch of regular stuff. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Do they have this comforter?
True.
True. Well, they have, I'll give you another comforter. Okay, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is our advocate. Advocate, same Greek word as comforter. Who's Jesus? He's our comforter. Who's the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What did Jesus do?
Taught all things.
He taught all things he could, right? Nicodemus came to him. We know that thou art a
Teacher. Sent from God.
Okay. Brother Nathan.
So, confirms things. So, sometimes I just get this, you know.
The band?
Oh, in a way for you almost, like, yeah, it confirms God's word.
And now what he says right here, too, teach y'all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay, so we know what we're talking about right here, but what does verse 17 say? Spirit of truth. What's truth? Brother Mike Cooper's going to bring that out. What's truth?
My word is
truth. God's word is truth. So he's the spirit of what? God's word. Okay, and God's word is God, the mind of Christ, whom the world cannot receive. Okay, so now then we get Bible analysis. Well, who's the world?
Anybody that's not part of the New Testament church.
Anybody that's not a part of a New Testament church. We were talking about, boy, at least they are last night. How many times have you heard, brethren, we've had so many prayer meetings, men's prayer groups, and I've heard things like that uttered. Well, at least they're going to a church. You know, pray for them, but at least they're going to a church. What? No. They're in the world. They're not going to a church. That's not God's.
What you're saying is at least they're going to hell.
At least they're going to hell. Or they're out of God's will. Because it seeth him not. And how come it does? How come they don't see him? Back to Matthew 13. What did Jesus say? What's wrong with the people? Why don't they hear God's word? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. They're blind. They're ignorant. They choose. They don't want to hear it. All right? So why are we bringing all this? Why is this important to bring it? Because we have to understand the world that we're dealing with and not get caught up. There's only two ways of living life, right and wrong. And right is God. That's why it's called righteous. Anything outside the order of God is wrong. And God is not going to open their mind to the mysteries. So as a preacher, as a pastor, that's part of encouraging the New Testament church member. You want to know about God. You want to have fellowship with God. You want to be part of God. You maintain that desire and spirituality according to God's order and rule in a New Testament church. And you can't be messing around with anything outside of that. Because you can't be in the world and in God's house at the same time. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Folks outside of a New Testament church will not have their eyes open in the illumination of God's truth like a New Testament church will. We can't compromise in thinking that they do. There's no fellowship outside of that. Now, that doesn't mean that we, you know, the reputation of being anti, don't be anti. Just know where you stand with the Lord and what your role is. We are actually to be ambassadors to reconcile. So there is a role that we play out in the world, but we can't accept their doctrines. We can't accept their teachings, their take on the Lord, their opinions, their philosophy of God. We can't take their writings. We can't take their services or their worships. I get calls all the time, twice a month anyways, of some sort of, hey, we're getting together with all the pastors of Primeville. And when I'm talking to folks around town, it's like, oh, you're a pastor. Well, do you know? Yeah. Because the initials, we're all together and we're not. As much as I want to be in unity with my community that I'm in, I know I can't because of what God told me, because of his line. So that's something that's part of the work is you have to stand firm on only as it is written. And as we look at history, that's what they did. And that's when we look in the scripture, that's what they did. But we have to know the only way that I'm going to get taught by the Holy Spirit is I have to yield to him and allow him to give me that discernment. And there's an order to it, that rightly dividing, that Bible analysis, which tells me already that I've got to get rid of my preconceptions. I've got to get rid of the weights and the strongholds and the sins and just let God teach me what he's teaching and accept it as God's truth. All right. Any other comments or questions? Nope. All right. Since I mentioned it, homework, 2 pages, double space. Is this being recorded so they can go back? Yeah. I've got your papers here. You didn't write the papers according. You have to go back and look what I ask about being baptized for the dead. 2 pages, double space, 12 point, 10 scripture references. Give me rapture timeline. Rapture timeline. Got it? Okay. All right, let's stand. Anything before we're dismissed? Nothing? All right, Brother Daniel, if you would, please dismiss us.
Father, Lord, I thank you for your love and your mercy for us this day, this opportunity to hear your word, Lord. The grace to give us the understanding of the Spirit, Lord, to teach us these things, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of a New Testament church and the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for it. Gave us that opportunity and ask. Remember each and every one of us that can continue to be thinking about these, meditate on these, and Lord, they would draw closer to you, understand more about you. And Lord, that you might remember your New Testament churches throughout the state and beyond, Lord, that you would help that you stand lower than past. You might remember the many prayer requests and things that are people are facing, but whatever it might be, you might be able to still draw closer to you and understand more about you. And Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus, and Jesus, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Right.